Momentum is building for the age of criminal responsibility to be lifted from 10 to 12, at the very least, in a bid to lower Indigenous incarceration rates, especially amongst young people. The gross overrepresentation of First Nations people in our prisons is being blamed for the 474 Aboriginal deaths in custody since the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody came out, a national shame 30 years ago. Robert Tickner was the Aboriginal Affairs Minister in the Hawke and Keating governments, and as I mentioned, he's Australia's longest serving Aboriginal Affairs Minister. These days, he's chair of the Justice Reform Initiative, which seeks to move away from the conventional tough-on-crime approach to criminal justice. Robert Tickner, welcome back to Breakfast. It's been a very long time.
Good morning, Fran. It's good to be with you.
It was your job in 1991 to draft the government's response to the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. As you did that, were you hopeful, were you confident as a nation we would respond to this issue, we would implement those 330-odd recommendations, and have those hopes been dashed?
Yes, I was confident, and the reason I was so confident was because the opposition in the Parliament was strongly supporting the work of the Royal Commission and the recommendations. Every state's Premier and Chief Minister and every opposition leader from all political parties in every state and territory got behind this. Am I disappointed? I'm more than disappointed, Fran. I'm brokenhearted in so many ways, but nothing I feel could possibly rival the feelings of those Aboriginal people who've lost loved ones in custody since the time of the Royal Commission, and my heart goes out to them. I think for me, the two threshold opening points I want to make is that the most important recommendation of the Royal Commission was arguably that imprisonment should be a last resort. And the Royal Commission really strongly recommended diversion of people to evidence-based alternatives to incarceration that essentially would break the cycle of repeat offending. And they're the kind of things that Ken Wyatt, my friend, has championed over time, and including in the last 2 weeks. The second, and I guess absolutely non-negotiable action that the Royal Commission strongly recommended was that we tackle the underlying issues giving rise to this disproportionate rate of Aboriginal incarceration. And they found that Aboriginal people were not dying in custody in numbers higher than their rate of incarceration in prison. Mm. The problem was that Aboriginal people were the most incarcerated people on earth, and they're in prison in vastly disproportionate numbers. And that's what we have to turn around. And that can only happen with the leadership of a Prime Minister, I hope strongly supported by both sides of politics.
Okay, so as you say, that was the problem then, 30 years ago, when the Indigenous Australians represented 14% of the prison population. 30 years on, that problem is twice as bad. It's now almost 30% of the prison population, Indigenous Australians. So, as you say, it's not that Aboriginal people are dying at are more likely to die in prison than white Australians, or non-Aboriginal Australians, but there's so many more Aboriginal people represented in our prisons. That is the problem. We heard earlier from Priscilla Atkins from the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services that the issues are the laws are not changing. In fact, sometimes they get worse. Mandatory detention laws at the state level, the age of criminal responsibility at the state level, are the two of the major contributors to the locking up of too many First Nations people. We've known these are the problems. Why are they not being addressed?
Well, Fran, you highlighted that I was chair of the Justice Reform Initiative, which is supported by Sir William Dean and Dame Quentin Bryce as patrons in chief. And in our work, we support the work of Change the Record, the Indigenous-led coalition. But we also believe that non-Indigenous Australians need to get behind change in the way that our country approaches the criminal justice system and incarceration. The fact is that Aboriginal people are caught up in a culture, in a political process that has led to Australia now being one of the higher incarceration nations in the whole of the OECD.
I'm just going to stop you there, Robert Tickner, because that is a shameful statistic. It's not a new statistic. None of these statistics we're talking about, which are horrifying, are new. They're well known. The question is, why doesn't it change? And is it hard to come to any conclusion, except that when it comes to government, black lives don't matter? Because that's what the statistics are telling us.
Fred, I'm coming to exactly the question you've raised. I think one of the tragedies has been that, unfortunately, both sides of politics at the states and territory level have been engaged in, over time, public policy making based on what they think the public want, harsher and more and longer sentences. Now, the fact of the matter is that the rest of the world, the countries that we respect as a nation, have moved away from that approach. And they've largely moved away from that approach with cross-party cooperation. So we have a higher incarceration rate than all the countries of Western Europe and Canada. And we even find that in the United States of America, Republicans and Democrats are turning away from that incarceration nation approach that the United States is so well known for. And what they're doing is trying to divert more people who are not in prison in order to protect the public, but more people away from the prison system to evidence-based alternatives, just like the Royal Commission said. So that means tackling education, particularly means tackling employment, housing, all these underlying issues. And if you take a snapshot, essentially, of the people who are in prison, you find, as the Royal Commission found, that 83 of the 99 people examined by the Royal Commission were unemployed as at the date of their incarceration.
Okay, so how do we move forward? We have closing the gap targets that Kevin Rudd brought in with the support of the other side of politics at the time, looking at trying to close the gap on employment, looking at trying to close the gap on education. We have a justice reinvestment model around Bourke in New South Wales, which is showing real signs of success, which hasn't been rolled out nationally. Labor has today announced that if it's elected, it will roll it out to, I think, 30 communities. But the fact is, it's been going for a while now, and it's been working. You talked about the leadership of a Prime Minister. Earlier in the week, we spoke to Patrick Dodson. He's a Labor Senator these days, but he was a Commissioner 30 years ago on this Royal Commission. He said he's sick of it, you know, all being talking about states have got to do this and this state's got to do that. He says we need national leadership. We need the Prime Minister of this country. We need your friend Ken Wyatt, who's the Indigenous Affairs Minister, to be bringing the states to the table and forcing change. Do you think that's what needs to happen and can happen? And why isn't it happening already?
You've asked a lot of questions there, friend, but let me cut absolutely to the chase. I deeply believe with every fabric of my being that if we want to get change and we do not want to be in the same position in 30 years' time, that we need the Prime Minister of the country, we need Mr. Morrison to reach across the aisle to Mr. Albanese and to deal with those first ministers, the premiers and chief ministers, and have them work with people like Pat Turner and the rest of the Aboriginal leadership to drive change. Let me be very blunt. No well-intentioned Indigenous Affairs Minister, whoever they are, can turn this around without that Prime Ministerial leadership. And I take you back to the time after that terrible tragedy at Port Arthur and the leadership role that John Howard played, inviting Kim Beazley to go with him down to Tasmania, and Cheryl Kerner was the leader of the Democrats, essentially making sure that the police were on side with this reform initiative, that every premier and every chief minister, all the groups in the community who want to build a better Australia, got behind John Howard. And people will get behind Mr. Morrison on this issue. As Pat Turner has said, we know what the solutions are. We need to get on with it. But only a Prime Minister can lead and deliver the depth of change required to turn us away from being the incarceration nation. We can do this. This is a fixable problem.
Robert Tickner, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Robert Tickner was Australia's longest serving, or is Australia's longest serving Indigenous Affairs Minister. He served in the Hawke and Keating governments from 1990 to 1996. He's currently the chair of the Justice Reform Initiative. We have invited the current Indigenous Affairs Minister, Ken Wyatt, onto the program this week, but he's not been available.